reading his signals. How incredible it would feel to kiss him, to have those sculpted arms around me for more than just a few minutes. How impossible it would be to survive when my ruined heart was inevitably broken again. Sam had shown up just in time.
That sounds a little harsh, Sam said slowly to Dr. Searcy as she sat back in the armchair next to mine 4 days later.
It's not about being harsh, Dr. Searcy countered softly. It's about both Morgan and myself being aware of how Will's death has changed her. She's chosen you as her support person through this process, and I know she has immense trust in you. You won't be harsh.
Sam's gaze skittered my way, and I nodded. Go ahead, I encouraged. Sam swallowed and looked back at Dr. Searcy.
Before it happened, Morgan was fearless. She commanded every room she walked into and never hesitated to let anyone know what she was thinking. She had a smile that would light up half the state, and she got out more, I guess you could say.
She glanced my way, and I nodded my support.
She was something of a social butterfly, and she was happy. Not all the time, of course. No one's happy all the time. She and Will got into a few legendary fights, and her temper was quick. But whatever emotions Morgan felt were there for the world to see. She was always brave like that. She turned toward me.
I always envied that about you. You were never scared to speak up and fight for what you wanted. You never ran away from the hard things, like I did.
It took all the energy I could muster to hold her gaze while trying to remember the girl she described.
And now? Dr. Searcy prompted.
You're quiet, Sam said to me, as if it was just the two of us and we weren't in my third session of therapy for complicated grief. You hide your emotions, and I don't know if it's because you're incredibly strong or scared that the people who love you can't handle what's inside.
I focused on my joined hands that rested in my lap.
She's avoiding the rest of our friends, which is something she never would have done before Will died, and I wish she didn't feel like she had to. She's drawn so far into herself that she's basically a few cats shy of a cliche, and she won't open herself up to even the slightest possibility that she might be happy again someday,
because it's not possible. I kept the thought to myself.
But mostly, she's sad, so damned sad. That light she's always had inside is still there. I see it flicker from time to time, but it's almost like she has it buried, and I just want to help her get it back.
She reached over and took my hand. She will, Dr. Searcy promised before she changed the subject, detailing what the remaining weeks of therapy would bring. I hadn't quite made peace with the fact that I was going to have to talk about Will's death in depth next week. But I knew I had to try. I had to beat against the instinct to withdraw and find whatever spark of light in me still lived on. We were just about ready to stop for the day when Sam held up her finger.
One thing,
she said to Dr. Searcy and then shifted to face me.
I need you to know that you're still you. The things that make you amazing haven't changed, Morgan. You're still incredibly brave, and if you don't feel it, just look at what you're doing now. This takes incredible courage. Look at how you saved Finley the other day. You're still the friend who puts others first, like making you stay here for the next 13 weeks while I try to get my shit together, I teased with a watery voice.
Stop it. You took me in when I had nowhere else to go. You never judged me for my choices and you still don't. Your grief for Will is just as deep as your love, and that's not something to be ashamed of. I'm so damned proud to be your friend.
She yanked me against her in an awkward, over-the-chair arm hug, and I felt twin tears escape. She might be proud of me now, but I knew the worst was yet to come. I'd avoided the worst of the pain for the last 2 years, and that came with a price. Chapter 8. Morgan. Lean on your friends, Morgan. God knows you've let them lean on you.
So, where are we at?
I asked Steve, handing him a cup of coffee as he stood at my kitchen counter. Longest 2.5 weeks ever, but we were back in my house.
Thank you.
He took a sip and then flipped through his binder.
Okay, the new concrete pilings are in place for the deck and the support ones for the foundation set perfectly. We released the jacks and your house is still standing, which is good since you moved back in 3 days ago.
Considering you told me there was every chance we'd have a major issue during that process, I consider that a victory. I raised my glass and he grinned.
Me too. Your head looks better, by the way.
He motioned to where my cuts were just little pink lines on my forehead.
I can't tell you how sorry I am.
Stop. You've told me at least twice a day since it happened. It wasn't your fault.
Still, I grew up with Claire, and just thinking about what could have happened...
He shook his head. You grew up with Finn's mom?
Yeah,
he smiled.
There wasn't a guy in school that wasn't half in love with her, and I guess that didn't change in college, seeing how Jax is still waiting around for her to come back. Guy hasn't had a serious relationship since she left. Anyway, I'm really sorry it happened.
Apparently, oversharing was a bad habit in every southern town. I'm just sad that the weather vane's broken. Seems a shame to lose something that's been with the house so long.
Even if it tried to murder you?
Well, stronger things have tried and failed, I shrugged. How about this monstrosity? I pointed to the very large, very visible piling that now ran from the roof through the garage level and into the sand below. Granted, it was a great addition for anyone considering exotic dancing for a living, but I wasn't a huge fan of the eyesore, or the hole they'd ripped in every story of my house during installation. The $5,000 investment had been driven straight through the master bedroom, not that I'd even fathomed starting that chunk of the remodel.
It's set well and, oh, you're talking cosmetics, aren't you?
I raised an eyebrow.
We'll hide it as well as we can once we start the interior portion of the remodel.
He flipped to the page I despised.
You're already a little over 50,000.
Ouch. Not that I hadn't known I was racking up the charges. I'd signed enough checks, but Lord, that was a punch to the belly. Or rather, the wallet. Okay, and that's for the new roof. The foundations on both the house and the boathouse, I gestured to the steel pole. Waterproof in the garage level,
as much as possible, Steve repeated. If that ocean comes up, there's nothing we can do to keep the water out of that garage. The house is built for water to flow right under it. The boathouse is another story.
Right, I understand. Nausea crept up my throat at the thought of Will's truck being swallowed by flood waters. And next?
All of the windows have been purchased. I have them stored. Also the storm shutters and lumber for the new decks.
So where does that leave us? He flipped back to his calendar.
Deck construction will start once we're done in Frisco. Should be about another 2 weeks, and then window installation in 3. Feel free to start ripping apart the inside now that your foundation is reinforced.
Now that your foundation is reinforced. The phrase ran through my head as we finished the scheduling talk, and I walked him to the door. Standing in the living room a few minutes later, I looked out over the ocean through the open door. The breeze was heavy with salt and humidity, but better than the stagnant air inside the house. A few weeks and I'd have my deck back instead of this rough wooden X nailed into the lower portion of the doorway, baby gate style. Like I was going to forget there wasn't a deck there and step into nothingness. But the pilings were in, ready to support what came next. The house's foundation was done. Mine still felt cracked. Hey, Sam said as she came down the stairs, twisting her hair into a ponytail. Are you ready? I glanced at the tiny cassette recorder that rested on the counter next to the refrigerator and cringed. Tuesday had been brutal. Turned out that the base of complicated grief therapy was telling the story of Will's death over and over. Then listening to myself tell it every single day on that damned cassette player, only to record it again the following week, and so on. It was supposed to lessen the emotional impact, which seemed rather like showering before a tsunami, or in my case, like the showering actually brought on the tsunami.
I still sucked at the now visualize yourself putting the memory away, just like you're putting away the tape recorder, part of the instructions.
I don't want to. Instead, I poured another cup of coffee.
Right, and you know that I respect your choices, so I'll give you one.
Sam hopped up onto the kitchen counter next to the tape recorder.
I can hit play on this one or the one I recorded on my phone before I realized we were using that slice of ancient technology.
That earned her a little side eye.
Support person, remember? So we listen, and then you get to pick your reward.
Already done. I pointed to the hardback of Mrs. Dalloway that rested on the kitchen counter, my bookmark peeking from about midway through the novel.
Virginia Woolf is not a reward. She's a homework assignment, she challenged. I happen to love Virginia Woolf. I'm actually about 3/4 through all of her books. I'll have you know, you giant math nerd.
I sent her a face that made her laugh.
Uh-huh.
She muttered something about English majors as she reached into the drawer to her left and pulled out pamphlets.
We've already done pedicures and the aquarium.
Someone knocked at the door. I tossed Sam a fake, sorry, face and ran for the foyer.
Dad has off today,
Finley exclaimed before I had the door fully open.
Does he?
I smiled down at her.
He does. And you're coming with us.
She bounced on her toes.
I am. Wait, I'm supposed to ask you that.
Her forehead crinkled.
We're going to the surf shop opening. Wanna come?
The light and hope in her eyes made it nearly impossible to deny her.
Sure she does,
Sam answered for me, wrapping her arm around my shoulder.
Look, Morgan, your reward has appeared like magic.
My chest tightened.
Reward?
Finley asked.
Yep, Morgan has a quick chore to do and then she'll be right over.
Sam shot me a look that told me I hadn't gotten out of the therapy assignment.
Okay, Miss Sam, do you want to come too?
Finley bounced again.
I would, but my husband is calling me in a couple of hours, so I need to stay by the reliable internet so I can see his pretty face.
Finley giggled and took off after I repeated Sam's promise that I'd be over momentarily.
Jackson cannot be my reward.
I shook my head emphatically, crossing my arms.
Well, I said Finley was your reward, and Jackson can be whatever you want him to be. Or were we sitting in different sessions of therapy when Doc said to explore new relationships?
She tilted her head and raised an eyebrow.
I don't think she meant Jackson. Oh, right. She meant every other person on the planet, with the exception of Jackson Montgomery. My bad.
She sent me a look that said I was full of shit. My phone rang as we walked back to the kitchen. Paisley. Just seeing her name on the caller ID made my stomach plummet.
What are you going to do about that?
Sam asked. I'll just hurt her if I answer it.
You might be hurting her more by wearing out the decline button, she observed.
Then turned toward the refrigerator and pulled out one of the dozens of coffee creamers I'd stockpiled for her.
She'll understand if you're honest with her, and Doc said it was okay to ask her for space until you're further along in your treatment, right?
Right. The fourth ring sounded, and my thumb hit the green button instead of the red. Oh, holy hell, what could I possibly say to her?
Hey, Paisley,
good start.
Morgan, you actually answered.
Her voice was a mix of relief, wonder, and worry.
Yep, I was a bitch.
Yeah. It was all I could get out as anxiety dug her scaly claws in me, tightening my throat. How could I be out of words for the one person who had learned them with me in the first place?
How are you? Where are you? I called your mama, but she said you moved, and if you wanted to tell me what was going on, you would. Then she said I'm supposed to convince you to go back home.
A small laugh burst through the lump in my throat.
Yeah, she's been on my case. Hold on a sec.
She was quiet for a few moments.
Sorry, I had to grab the baby monitor. Peyton decided to take a morning nap, and I didn't want to drop the phone on the hardwood and wake him up. Done that before. Never again.
Of course. I forced a smile like she could see me. Peyton Carter Bateman. Her son was named after Will and her sister, Peyton. Because in her mind, hell, in everyone's, Will had always been Peyton's to love, Paisley's to grieve.
never mine. That sick feeling I'd done everything to avoid slapped me in the face, and I felt a rending in my heart, the meticulous stitches I'd been sewing since I got here popping one by one, ripping chunks of my soul out to bleed anew.
"So, where did you move to? What's going on?" she sighed. "This hurts. Something awful. The rift I can feel between us, and I don't know what I did or what I can do to fix it."
"I'm fine. We're fine," I lied.
"We're not. You haven't picked up a single one of my calls since Sam's wedding, and that was 3 months ago, so don't tell me that nothing is wrong, because I can't remember the last time we went 3 months without speaking."
I could. It was after Will's funeral, but I wasn't about to go there. Lies, fake smiles, I was so sick of it all. She was my best and oldest friend. I could do this. I could ask her for what I needed, but it was impossible not to hurt her in the process.
"I bought a beach house in Cape Hatteras. It's a wreck, but so am I, so we fit rather nicely. Will..."
My throat tightened and I reached for my coffee, taking a quick swallow before starting again. He left me a secondary life insurance policy and his truck, among some other things. Her indrawn breath, just shy of a gasp, made me pause.
I didn't know he did that." "Yeah, well, you didn't know everything."
The little sarcastic laugh flew past my lips before I could stop it. This was going to go to shit if I couldn't rein in my mouth.
"I never thought I did," she said softly. "You know, Cape Hatteras is only a drive away."
My anxiety hit the panic button. "Paisley, I love you, but I need some time and space. I have a therapist, and Sam's staying until I complete this program. Please understand."
"I'm so glad that you called." "Program? Are you in rehab?"
"No." I let a self-deprecating laugh slip. "Nothing like that."
"Wait, you have Sam there?"
Shit, now I'd gone and hurt her feelings, which was the opposite of my intention. "The therapy I'm going through is for something called complicated grief, and as much as it hurts you to hear this, you are a giant trigger for me." Just talking to her had the vice tightening around my throat.
"I am?"
Her breath left in a rush. "Yeah. And the treatment requires a support person. That's why Sam is here." Sam gave me a reassuring smile.
"Are you okay? I didn't even know you were struggling. We've never kept secrets from each other,"
Paisley murmured. "I kept one from you," I corrected her. "Remember?" She paused and I could almost see the gears turning in her head, the way her green eyes would shift side to side when she was trying to work something out.
"Will,"
she said softly. "Will," I confirmed. I'd never told her I loved him when it could have mattered. I didn't tell her until she'd decided she didn't want him anymore, and even then, it had been by accident. I'd never wanted to hurt her.
"Complicated grief. Is it over Will?" she asked. "Honey, if this is about him, why can't you talk to me? No one knew him better or knows you better."
"Oh, stop it," I snapped. That facade I'd maintained around Paisley since he'd died, hell, since I'd fallen for him, shattered like glass. I was done having my feelings marginalized or being talked to like I'd been some fifth grader with a crush. The line fell quiet, taut with tension and more than a little apprehension.
"I'm a trigger,"
she said slowly. My stomach sank at the heartbreak in her voice. "You're a trigger. And my best friend, which makes this really painfully hard." I sagged against the counter.
"So," she sighed, "so you need me to leave you alone, stop calling, that kind of thing?"
Her voice broke. I felt the telltale burning in my eyes and blinked back tears. Not forever, but for now, yes.
"Okay. I can give you time."
"I know. That's why I love you." My face crumpled, wishing we were back in our kitchen in Enterprise, snacking on popcorn and M&Ms, wishing our worlds hadn't been torn so completely apart that we couldn't find each other. Yet.
"Call when you're ready," Can I talk to Sam for a second?
Her voice broke.
Sure.
I handed the phone to Sam, and she started nodding.
Yeah, I've got her, she promised, crossing from the kitchen to the living room.
I sucked in a deep breath and hit play on the tape recorder. May as well go through all the pain at once.
Okay, Morgan, can you take me back to the moment you experienced Will's death?
Dr. Searcy's voice came through the speaker. I braced my hands on the counter, steadying myself for the impact of everything that was going to follow on that damned tape. I'm in the grocery store, picking out a jar of jam, and my phone rings. It's Sam.
We left the windows down as we drove up the coast toward Waves and Rodanthe Beach. The miles between Hatteras and Waves were filled with unpopulated beaches, the strip of island so narrow at times it felt like I could touch the Atlantic with one hand and the Sound with the other. Jackson's Land Cruiser reminded me of his house, pristine in the front seats where he was in charge, and perfectly cluttered in the back seat where Finley reigned. Banner's Riot blared through the speakers, and with Finn singing at the top of her lungs from behind us and Jackson grinning when she got the words wrong, my heart lightened. This was the best reward I could have given myself after listening to the tape. Sure, maybe it had been a week since I'd been this close to Jackson, but I refused to bring that fact into the reward equation. But every time I looked his way, my pulse jumped at the memory of having his mouth inches from mine. We reached Waves and fell in with a small line of traffic headed for the beach access. Finley blew hard, moving some of her curls out of her face.
It's all tangly.
Jackson met her eyes in the rearview mirror.
Then you should have let me pull it up before we left.
I didn't want you to then,
she stated like it was the simplest truth in the world.
Do you want me to now?
We pulled into a parking lot that was already 3/4 full and parked.
Yes, please.
Then it's a good thing I brought a brush and a hair tie, huh?
She nodded with a little twist of her puckered lips. We got out of the car and I sprayed on sunscreen, then hauled my beach bag over my shoulder. The temp had spiked again, bringing us an 80-degree day. Finn, do you need some sunscreen? I asked, coming around the back of the car.
Yes, please,
she answered. My breath caught stupidly at the sight of Jackson working a spray into her hair and then brushing the curls into a high ponytail. It was something so domestic, not the least bit sexy, but that primal piece of DNA we couldn't seem to wipe out with thousands of years of evolution sat up and took notice. Okay, I could admit it. Being a good father was insanely attractive, on a molecular level.
Shut up, ovaries. All done,
Jackson declared. Finley spun as he bent down, placing a kiss on his cheek in a motion so perfectly timed that it had to be routine. My belly clenched. There had to be something wrong with this man somewhere. Anywhere. Maybe he squeezed the toothpaste from the center of the tube like a monster or something.
Okay. What's first for you ladies? Kiteboarding? Surfing?
Jackson curved the brim of his baseball hat. Never mind, that was what was wrong with him. Wasn't there an activity that didn't require a fall on my ass in the middle of the ocean? Or something with a motor? I'd never been more aware of my indoor girl status.
Shirts,
Finley decided.
Well, shirts it is,
Jackson said, taking her hand in his. For a split second, I pictured him offering me his other hand. Because clearly, I'd gone crazy.
Come on, Finn. Let's show Morgan how we locals open the surf shop for the season.
It's Hawkins Day.
Finn held up her free hand and I took it. It is? I asked.
Mary Ann Hawkins was one of the first women's surfing champions. It's basically a day where you can learn about the ocean and all the fun stuff you can do in it. There are instructors for just about anything you might want to try.
Jackson explained as the three of us walked down the path to the beach where hundreds of people were already celebrating, and it seemed like it was about 90% women.
It's a girl thing,
Finley confirmed. Jackson met my gaze and shrugged.
I'm here in a purely observational capacity, just like last year. A woman crossed in front of us in a swimsuit that wasn't hiding much. I bet you are, I drawled slowly. He flashed me a grin.
Jax!
A tall brunette with chin-length hair waved her hands in the air as she ran our way. Holy crap, I could barely run on a treadmill, and this woman hit the beach like it was pavement. Wait, was Jackson seeing someone? We'd never had that conversation. He would have said something, though. Right? My stomach sank.
Miss Tina!
Finley let go of our hands and hugged the woman.
Hey, Christina.
Jackson greeted her with a hug, too.
You must be Morgan,
Christina said with a bright, open smile and sparkling brown eyes.
I am,
I said, then partially froze as she hugged me.
I'm so happy to meet you,
she said, stepping back and doing a quick but open appraisal of me.
These two talk about you all the time. We're going to make shirts,
Finley declared. How fun, Christina turned to Jackson.
You take Finley, and I'll take Morgan. We're going to do beach yoga.
We are?
Yoga pants were something I was intimately acquainted with. Yoga itself? Not so much.
We are,
she nodded enthusiastically. Oh, God. She was one of those workout people. The ones who declared that exercise healed everything and posted their 14 CrossFit workouts on Instagram. We were so not going to be friends.
Okay, you guys have a good time. Morgan, why don't you meet us over by the surfing lessons when you're done?
He pointed to an area of the beach and walked off with Finley before I could protest. Of all the inconsiderate...
So, I've decided we're going to be friends, Christina said, tilting her head. Okay?
What the heck did you say to that?
I mean, Jax decided we should be friends. But now that I've met you...
I agree, and Finn likes you. She's super picky with people, so I know you're a good one. I already grabbed you a mat, so we're all set up for yoga.
And where are my manners? You must think I'm nuts.
A little.
So, Jax and my husband Peter work together.
They do? My nausea vanished at the word husband, not that I should have cared.
Yep, Jack said you were new in town and might need someone besides his emotionally unavailable butt to talk to. So he stopped by my jewelry store to grab Finley and mentioned Hawkins Day. And I thought, what's more perfect than getting to know someone while you're in crazy positions with your asses in the air?
I couldn't stop the laugh that tumbled past my lips. This woman was sunshine, radiating her happiness. It couldn't hurt to let it rub off on me. That's when it hit me. She'd already grabbed me a yoga mat. Jackson hadn't walked off because he was inconsiderate.
Oh my God, Jackson set us up on a blind friendship date. That's what's going on here.
Pretty much, she admitted with a little shrug.
Yoga's this way.
She led me to a section of the beach where women stood chatting on mats lined up in rows. The women were all different shapes, sizes, and ethnicities, but all had a variation of the same smile.
Wait, did happy people do yoga, or did yoga make people happy? Or maybe it was just the open, adventurous spirit of the day.
How long has it been since you laughed and smiled like that?
It felt like forever.
So, Jackson and your husband work together? I asked as we set up next to the empty mats Christina had reserved.
What exactly did oceanographers do, anyway?
Yep, a few years now, but enough about the boys. What do you do?
I stripped off my outer layer of clothing, leaving me in my swimsuit like the other women.
I just graduated from college. I did a 5-year master's program in literature and education. So in a couple months, I'll start my first teaching job. But right now, I'm pretty much a beach bum, which... thinking about it, isn't a bad way to live.
It sure isn't. And where did you pick up that delicious accent?
She limbered up a little, twisting her body.
Southern Alabama. What about you? Or are you one of those northerners who thinks you don't have an accent?
She laughed.
Wyoming. More west than north. So tell me, what's your damage?
Her words came with such honesty and genuine curiosity. In truth, it was the best kind of way to get to know someone quickly, if they were willing to open up to a complete stranger.
But maybe that was the best time to lay your ship bare, when you had nothing to lose yet. Or maybe listening to the tape this morning had scraped another layer of dust off my avoidance. What the hell? If I scared her off, then so be it. I scared myself most days. The man I loved was killed in action almost 2 years ago, and now I have horrendous anxiety attacks. I moved 1,000 miles and cut off everyone I know but my friend Sam and my psychiatrist. Still want to be my friend? I looked over at her slowly. Absolutely, she answered without hesitation. What's yours? I challenged. I'm insanely worried that Peter's career will always come first, and I won't matter in the scheme of life. I also hate coffee and can't understand why people willingly drink it. Still want to be my friend? Absolutely. I stole her answer. The coffee thing was a close call, though. Her lips curved, matching mine as the instructor took the little platform set up in front of us. Okay, ladies, welcome to Hawkins Day. Now, let's get our energy flowing and center ourselves. Begin with the mountain pose. She modeled the pose, standing with her feet wide apart and her hands reaching for the sky. I copied her, letting myself take in deep breaths of sea air as my whole body stretched to welcome the sun. After yoga, Christina and I made plans to meet up the next week. And then I chose to step forward into surfing after purchasing a full wetsuit. Holy crapola, did I suck at that. You weren't that bad, Jackson assured me as we drove home that evening. Are you serious? Were you watching? Goats are more graceful on a surfboard than I am. I kept my voice low, noting that Finn had passed out in the back seat before we'd even made it out of waves. Jackson grinned. And my traitorous heart skittered a few beats. See, you know it was bad.
I was actually picturing goats on a surfboard.
They'd have a better chance of staying on that thing than I did, hooves and all. I knew I wasn't athletic, but that had just been embarrassing. There was a definite difference between thin and fit, and I was not fit. Grief had eaten away at my appetite. And my muscles.
You can always get better through practice, if you want. I do happen to know of a nearby beach.
I rolled my eyes. Speaking of beaches, it's really narrow here. I changed the subject as we reached a particularly tight strip of 12. What happens when the storms come?
It gets hit? Hard? All of 12 does, really. Hurricanes like Irene and Sandy can cut us off from the mainland for weeks. They have to dig out the roads or rebuild them. We can usually get ferries going, but tides make it difficult.
So they just keep rebuilding roads that continually get destroyed by hurricanes? I mean, those were both in the last decade. Being cut off for weeks? Did I have supplies for that? I'd need to store some food, maybe get a generator for when the solar panels we'd just installed with the roof didn't hack it. Oh, God, I was going to turn into one of those crazy doomsday preppers.
Well, yeah, people live here. Love it here. You're one of us now, so you should appreciate the tenacity of the North Carolina Department of Transportation.
It just seems so futile to keep fighting for something you know won't last. Beach erosion was a serious issue. I knew that when I bought the house. And houses here had been known to float away into the Atlantic, even without hurricanes. Just living here was a risk. He glanced my way, and then his hands tightened on the wheel.
Maybe it is futile. Maybe one day we'll be forced to abandon it. But it's okay to fight for something you love, to dig it out and build it back up in hopes that this time the foundation will be strong enough to withstand the hurricane. It's just like what you're doing with the house.
I guess it is. Fixing a house that could eventually sink into the ocean. Fixing a heart that might end up useless anyway. Fixing a friendship that I'd all but ghosted.
It's okay to do all you can and still lose. Still get washed away. It sucks. But it's a far less tragic ending than never having tried.
The air between us thickened as he glanced my way and then back to the road. Yeah, it's those lost chances that end up hurting the worst, I said quietly.
How did the foundation set on the house, by the way?
Went without a hitch.
if we didn't count the stupid weather vane. He smiled.
Good. That's good. You can remodel the hell out of just about any house, if the foundation is good.
I looked across the car in the dying sunlight and studied his face. Inches. He'd been a breath away from kissing me on his kitchen counter. Was it possible to want someone when you had nothing to offer but a ton of baggage and a damaged heart? Was I even allowed to want him in any other way besides a neighbor or maybe a friend? Did it matter? Ripping my eyes away, I looked out at the ocean, recognizing that for the first time in years, I wanted a man who wasn't Will. My heart ripped a little, and I raised my hand to rub the spot beneath my collarbone, partially to ease the ache there and partially to see if I could capture the little bit of light and hope that escaped from that tear. I could push my feelings about Jackson away all I wanted, but it didn't make them any less real or any less dangerous. He lived right next door, so it was only a matter of time before I had to decide what the heck I was going to do about it. Avoiding him and shutting down whatever this was before it had the chance to start was the safest choice, and that's what I needed right now. Safe. That was the logical choice. The only choice. I'd just have to say no to every invitation he offered and put a lot of distance between us, starting now. How hard could that be? No, I practiced in my head. No, no, no. See? I could do it. Finn stirred in the back seat, blinking away with a stretch.
What do you say we get rebellious and stop for ice cream?
Jackson asked me with a mischievous grin that raised my temperature by at least 2 degrees. Sure, I answered before Finn even got the chance. I was so screwed.
Chapter 9. Jackson.
I like the pink one, Finley informed me as we scrolled through backpacks online. Oh, and that blue one. And the green one.
Well, you only need one, so which one is your favorite? She scrunched her forehead, looking up at me, then back to the screen, seriously pondering her decision with an intensity that almost made me laugh. Take your time. Kindergarten is a big deal, I get that, and I firmly support whatever choice you make. You don't even have to pick one tonight. It's just orientation. We still have months before you start. She took a deep breath and nodded.
The purple one.
You're sure?
That's the one. I know it.
Okay, because I'm buying it right now. I clicked add to cart. She nodded.
I'm ready.
I know you are. Maybe she was, but I wasn't. I faked it well, though. Okay, all purchased.
Thanks, Daddy.
Finley plopped a kiss on my cheek and hopped off the couch, brushing her curls out of her face. They won't get in the way if you let me pull it up, I reminded her.
Ponytails are boring,
she declared, skipping every age to 13. A knock at the door saved her from my eye roll. We could stop by Grammy's and ask Aunt Bree to braid it for you, I suggested as Finn bolted toward the door.
Nope, she has really long nails.
What? That had exactly what to do with braiding?
It's Morgan,
Finley called out, jumping up and down to see out the glass side panel of the front door. My heart rate kicked up, and I had the ridiculous urge to check myself in the mirror as I walked toward the door. Get a damn grip. But in my defense, I'd only seen her in passing over the last week, and this was the first time she'd ever knocked on my door.
Can I?
Finn asked, her hands already on the knob. Yep, you can always let Morgan in, which now made 6 people on Finley's always allowed list. Bree, Sarah, Sawyer, Garrett, Vivian, and now Morgan.
Yay!
She flung open the door.
I can always let you in.
Awesome. Morgan held out her hand for a low five. Finn gave it to her with a megawatt grin.
Come in.
Finley backed up and held out her arm like a gracious, pint-sized hostess.
Why, thank you,
Morgan said, walking in. She was in a white, thick-strapped tank top and short khaki shorts that reached mid-thigh, drawing my eyes to her legs. Not that I needed a reason, because my attention always found its way there with Morgan. She was also wearing the same maroon ball cap from the pictures. His ball cap. Damn, I wished I hadn't gone snooping.
Did you come to see my daddy?
Finley asked, shutting the door behind her. Morgan flashed me a small smile before turning back to Finn.
Nope, I actually came to see you.
She dropped down to Finn's eye level.
You did?
Finn brushed her hair out of her face.
I did. I was walking to the beach with Sam this morning, and I found this.
She opened her hand, revealing a small, perfect conch shell.
Oh, it's so pretty!
Finn leaned in close, examining the shell.
It's yours, Morgan said as she handed it over. Really? It's almost perfect.
Ah, and so the search continued.
That's exactly what I thought when I saw it.
Finn grabbed Morgan's still outstretched hand and examined her fingernails.
Can you braid?
Morgan blinked at the subject change, but then nodded.
I can. Will you braid my hair?
Finn asked, using those eyes on Morgan to get her way.
I have kindergarten tonight.
Oh, shit. That tightness in my chest was back, flaring in a fierce surge of emotion I had no right to feel. Finley liked Morgan. She trusted her, which only made my attraction to her increase exponentially. Morgan's soft brown eyes found mine in silent question, and I gave her a slight nod.
If you want me to, I can,
Morgan replied.
Yay, I'll get my stuff.
Clutching her new prize, Finley raced off to her room, leaving us standing in the entry hall. Thanks. She never lets me braid it, mostly because every time I try it comes out lopsided and not very braid-like, I remarked, struggling for something to say that wouldn't come out. Hey, I really like you. Any chance you might feel the same? Because I wasn't 14. And the woman still doesn't know what you do for a living, jackass.
No problem. I'm happy to do it.
I walked her into the kitchen and offered her a drink.
No thanks, I'm good.
She braced her hands on the granite and boosted her ass into the same spot I'd put her when I'd patched her up weeks ago. If Sam hadn't walked in, I would have...
So, kindergarten, huh?
It's just orientation for the next year, but it crept up on me, that's for sure.
She'll do great.
Fuck me. She crossed her legs and shifted forward slightly, leaning on her palms. Maybe it was the months of celibacy, but my body took more than enough notice of her. Shit, when was the last time I got laid? Not since Morgan arrived, that was for sure. Not for lack of opportunity, but because I didn't want anyone else. Holy shit. I don't want anyone else. So what the hell did that mean? Did I want a date with this woman? A night in her bed? An actual relationship? Yes to all. She took a deep breath, causing her breasts to rise against her neckline, and I turned back to the refrigerator, popped the top of one of those antioxidant drinks Finley liked because they were pink, and chugged the whole thing.
Thirsty?
Morgan teased. You have no fucking idea. You could definitely say that. I turned slowly, and from the way her eyes widened, I was doing a piss-poor job of keeping my thoughts off my face. Only a few feet separated us. A heartbeat, maybe two, and I could be standing between her knees, her face in my hands, my tongue finally tasting the curve of her mouth. As if she could read my thoughts, her lips parted, and the air crackled for all the potential electricity lingering between us.
Got it,
Finn called out, skidding to a halt in front of Morgan with a tackle box full of hair care products. Morgan blinked rapidly and turned to Finn.
Okay, let's get you started.
A few minutes later, Morgan had Finn on the floor in front of her as she sat on the love seat. She listened with rapt attention as Finley told her all about the great kindergarten backpack debate. I watched from the couch, trying to figure out what the hell I was supposed to do about wanting this woman. Hell, I hadn't been on a second date since Claire. Hadn't really been on a date at all.
What if I get hungry?
Finley asked as Morgan sprayed product into her curls. It was the first time I'd heard her voice concern over going to school.
There's lunchtime and snack time,
Morgan told her, brushing through Finley's curls with ease.
And if you're super hungry, just tell your teacher. What if no one likes my backpack?
She asked quietly, and it took everything in my power not to answer her because she hadn't asked me.
Then that's their problem,
Morgan stated simply. I blinked. My first impulse had been to say that everyone would love her backpack, but Morgan's answer was way better. Morgan threaded Finn's curls through her fingers and wove a braid around her head. What the hell kind of sorcery was that?
What if they don't like me?
Finn's voice dropped even softer. I leaned forward and Morgan shot me a look that warned against speaking. My eyebrows lifted, but I stayed silent.
Then they're not the people you want to like you. And you already have one friend there, so you're already starting ahead.
She flipped her hands and continued to braid up the other side of Finn's head.
Who?
Finn asked, sitting stiller than she ever did when I did her hair.
Me. Just think, your first day of kindergarten will be my first as a teacher, so we'll both be nervous. And I bet every other kid in your class will have the same kind of worries you do. So if you smile big, you just might make them a little less nervous, too.
You're a teacher?
Finn started to turn her head, but thought better of it.
I am. At least that's what my college told me. I've never had a class of my own, though, so I guess we'll see. I'll be right down the hall from you in fifth grade.
She finished the braid, winding an elastic over the end and tucking it into the start of the braid before sticking a few bobby pins through it.
All done.
Finn popped up and ran to the mirror where her jaw dropped.
It's a crown! I have a crown!
She flew back in, wrapping her arms around Morgan and smacking her cheek with a kiss.
Thank you!
You're welcome.
Morgan's eyes slid shut as she hugged Finn tightly. Then Finn took off to put her hair stuff away, leaving us alone. Morgan rose from the love seat. That was astonishing, I told her as I stood. How do you know how to do that?
YouTube.
Her smile was soft but real. She adores you. Finn liked a lot of people, but that blatant look of affection she'd lavished on Morgan was usually reserved for me or Vivian.
Well, the feeling is mutual. She's phenomenal.
We locked eyes briefly before Morgan looked away. Thank you. You're amazing. You know that, right? Pink tinged her cheeks.
Not really. If you knew the real me, I'm not sure you'd think that.
And what would change my mind? I hoped she wasn't alluding to the anxiety attack she'd gone through with the truck.
Okay, I'm ready,
Finn exclaimed, arms up in victory as she twirled in the newest dress Vivian had bought for her. It was a step beneath a ballroom, but it wasn't exactly classroom either, and on her feet she wore her favorite pair of black Vans.
You look absolutely wonderful. I'm sure they'll all remember you when it's time to go back next year.
Morgan praised before I could question my daughter's thought process. Finley cocked her head at me, motioning to her dress, her very sparkly dress. I love it. I loved even more that she felt good about herself in it. If that was the confidence boost she needed, I'd fill her closet with fluffy dresses. Morgan gave her a hug.
You guys have a great night, okay?
Walk us out? I offered as Finn slipped on her jacket without the usual fight.
Sure,
Morgan agreed, her hand finding Finn's as we headed out the door. By the time I locked up behind us, Morgan and Finley were down the steps, lost in some animated conversation that I wasn't privy to, but I heard Finn mention Vivian. Right. Next weekend was Vivian's with Finn. Usually I'd grab a drink with Sawyer and Garrett, but what if I didn't? What if I spent the time with Morgan instead? Would she even say yes? Shit, was I actually nervous about asking a woman out? Absolutely. I got Finn buckled in her car seat, then turned the Land Cruiser on so the air conditioning would circulate from my little redhead. Hey, kitty, I called out when I caught her walking away from me. She turned, tucking her hands into her back pockets just outside our open garage door.
Jackson?
There it was, that little uptick at the corner of her mouth, the one I couldn't wait to trace with my tongue. God, if the woman said yes, I was going to have to wait an entire week to take her out. I hate that I have to work this weekend. Wait, why the hell did I say that? I was rusty as shit when it came to someone I actually wanted.
That seems fair.
She tilted her head to the side. Sorry, that wasn't what I meant to say. She smiled, and it was real. My brain emptied. She was beautiful in more than her body or her face. That was a given, and in my experience didn't always carry any deeper. Morgan's beauty skyrocketed with that sparkle I caught right now in her eyes, the hint of playfulness, the glimpse of another stunning facet of her I had yet to discover. because I hadn't earned it yet, but I would. The timing was wrong. I wasn't sure she was ready. I hadn't been interested in more than a few hours with someone in over 5 years. She had a broken heart, and I had a kid whose heart I couldn't risk. For God's sake, I was standing outside my garage, which wasn't exactly romantic. But none of that mattered. Or maybe it did, but I was going to give her every reason not to let them matter. I was going to earn the right to see her smile and hear her laugh.
Are you okay?
Her eyebrows furrowed. Yeah, absolutely. Just busy talking to myself. So, I have to work this weekend, which we've already covered, but I'm off next weekend. Her eyes widened slightly. You feel up for seeing a little more of the island with me? You haven't gotten out much. Holy shit, Montgomery, did you just quasi-insult the woman?
Oh, I'm not really one for bars anymore.
She rocked back on her heels. I was thinking more along the lines of nocturnal sightseeing.
Sightseeing?
Yes.
At night?
I believe that's the meaning of nocturnal. She stared at me for a moment, her pause almost awkwardly long, but I waited. I had a feeling that was the key to Morgan, taking small steps and putting the choice in her corner. I'd never been a wait-for-anything kind of guy, but I'd so fucking learn if it meant having a shot with her.
Okay,
she finally answered.
What time?
I managed to not fist pump, barely. It was close. 9 on Saturday, unless you'd rather grab dinner first. I know some great... Nope, 9 is great. Small steps, Montgomery. Okay, see you then. She nodded and damn near ran back to her house in obvious retreat. I blocked off Saturday evening on the calendar using my phone and grinned the whole way to the school. We got there 13 minutes early. Finn held her head extra high as we walked in through the front double doors. We turned left at the end of the short hall and passed a pair of classrooms, one that had the door propped open.
Aunt Bree!
Finley dropped my hand and ran toward her aunt, who was seated behind her desk in a pile of papers.
Hey, Finley.
Bree got out of her chair and gave Finn a hug. What are you doing here so late? I asked, leaning against one of her students' desks.
Well, I'm grading papers, and I knew this little lady had orientation tonight, so I thought I'd wish her luck. Let's get a picture.
She took her cell phone from the desk and snapped a picture of Finn.
Do you like my dress?
Finn asked, spinning with a squeak against the linoleum floor.
Very glamorous. And look at your hair,
she gushed.
If that's not the prettiest thing I've ever seen. Morgan did it.
Did she? Bree shot me a raised eyebrow.
Well, I love it. That Morgan sure is talented, isn't she?
Yes, and she's going out with Daddy next weekend.
Finn clapped. Oh, shit. Finn, it's not like a date, I told her. We were going to have to discuss expectations. I didn't need Finn's heart set on something that wasn't even on the table right now. And how do you even know? She looked at me sheepishly.
My iPad told me.
Right. She had access to the family calendar and got notifications. My bad. But when exactly did your iPad tell you? She pressed her lips in a little line. Finn?
When we left the house?
You snuck your iPad into the car? Where? How? I folded my arms across my chest.
Under my jacket.
She shrugged unapologetically. That's why you didn't argue about putting it on, I mused, giving my daughter a point for pure mischievousness. But I didn't say you could bring it. Tech stays home. Her eyes darted from Breeze to mine and back again.
You didn't say I couldn't bring it. She has you there,
Bree acknowledged.
What do you say we walk you down to the kindergarten rooms?
Yes, please.
Finley bounced with excitement. We walked out of Bree's room and almost ran right into one of Finn's friends from preschool, which meant Finn was already starting down the hall with Julie, no longer caring about an escort. I glanced at the door that would be Morgan's next year.
She's not just some tourist, you know,
Bree said softly, motioning toward the door.
If you start something with her, and it ends badly, I'm the one stuck hearing about it at work. And more importantly, it will affect Finn.
Is that why you told Claire about Morgan? I questioned as we passed bulletin boards full of artwork. She gave me an indignant scoff.
I told my sister because she has a right to know that you're putting yourself in a position to move on. I moved on years ago. Not emotionally, you didn't. I know Claire is Claire, but she's still my sister, and I'm just looking out for her.
I like Morgan. I'm taking her out. I didn't say that we were hopping a flight to Vegas. Finn, baby, wait up! I called down the hall. Finn paused outside the kindergarten doors.
I just wish...
I turned, halting us both. You wish she was Claire. That's your baggage, not mine. Now I'm going to take my daughter into her orientation. The daughter who, once again, doesn't have her mother here. I'll see you later, Bree. With a curt nod, I left her standing in the hall and headed for Finn. I wasn't the only single parent there, but I was the only single dad. The usual onslaught of complicated emotions didn't hit me this time, though. Finn wasn't looking around, sad that her own mother hadn't come. That was my baggage, not hers. She was busy twirling in her dress and showing everyone her crown braid. But then again, how could she miss someone she'd never really had?
Oh, come on!
Sawyer begged as he spotted me the next night. I pushed the bar through my final rep and set it back on the rack.
Don't give him shit about it,
Garrett muttered from the pull-up station. We'd already flown a patrol and we were doing what any man of logic would normally do at 1 a.m., working out in the station gym to keep from falling asleep.
Sorry, man, you're on your own, I told Sawyer as I sat up.
I made arrangements, he whined. There are two of them, two cousins. What am I supposed to tell them?
He followed me as I headed for the leg press. That you made plans without consulting me? I adjusted the weight, adding 20 pounds.
That you made plans without consulting me. What the hell is so important that you'd blow me off on a non-Finley weekend?
He stared down at me with a mix of real and mock outrage.
You know we only have a few months before we deploy. You're supposed to be mine.
A few months before you deploy. Remember? I'm on rear D for this one. Command had taken mercy on me since I was Finley's only parent. Yes, I had a care plan, but it had been a relief when they told me I wasn't going to have to use it. I hated sending my guys without me, though. He grabbed his chest in indignation.
We're supposed to be spending every moment we can together so our bromance survives the separation.
All 3 months of it, I laughed. Now seriously, I'm taking Morgan out. I slid into the machine.
I'm sorry. Morgan, as in your extremely hot, way unavailable neighbor?
Sawyer asked, his expression changing to a shit-eating grin. Yes. I started my reps and hoped the conversation would end there.
Do you even know how to actually date anymore?
Sawyer dropped down so we were at the same level. Of course he couldn't let it end there.
Pretty sure it all works the same as the last time I did it, I snapped, breathing through the reps.
You mean back in the 1800s? Sawyer laughed.
Seriously, leave him alone, Garrett told Sawyer, dropping after his last pull-up. Jax, I like her. She might be gorgeous, but she doesn't act like she knows it, and she ate your burnt-ass cheeseburger.
Thanks for your approval, I grunted as I reached the end of the set.
I didn't say I didn't like her, Sawyer threw his hands up in the air. I'm here for this, Montgomery. What can I do to help you? Do you need tips? Advice? Date ideas? You know that MySpace isn't a thing anymore, right?
I finished the last rep, then climbed from the machine and put my hand on Sawyer's shoulder. Sawyer, you know I love you like a brother, but you are the last person in the world I would ever ask dating advice from. Garrett burst into laughter as I hauled my ass to the shower. I wasn't letting Sawyer get to me. Not when I'd gotten Morgan to say yes. Even if it was a friend zone date, I'd take what I could get when it came to her. My phone rang as I zipped up my flight suit post-shower. Fuck, I muttered, but I still answered.
Do you know what time it is, Claire?
10:30,
she snapped. It's 1:30 in the morning here. I sat down on the bench in front of my locker and put on my boots.
Well, you answered, so you must still be awake.
But you didn't know that when you called. I sat up and rubbed the skin between my eyes. Okay, let's start over. To what do I owe the pleasure of this call?
We have a giant fucking issue, she seethed.
Which would be?
Did you seriously send my daughter to her kindergarten orientation wearing a damned Easter dress and Converse?
Her voice was pitched high enough to be called a shriek. I bit back an instinctual reply, which would have been to tell her to fuck off and hang up.
She's Finley's mother. I repeated the thought four times before I spoke.
Not that I know of. I leaned down to lace my boots, holding the phone between my ear and shoulder.
So this picture Bree sent me isn't Finley's orientation? I just sent it.
My phone vibrated, and I pulled it back long enough to see the picture Bree had taken yesterday appear in our text thread. That's Finley, right before orientation, I confirmed.
Jax!
What? I finished tying the first boot and started on the second. She's not wearing an Easter dress because it doesn't have 1,000 bunnies on it, or eggs, or a giant cross. It's a party dress. And those aren't Converse. They're her favorite pair of Vans.
And you let her wear that? Do you know what the teacher must have thought? What the other kids must think about her?
That's their problem, I retorted, taking a page out of Morgan's book as I tied the second boot. Look, Claire, she wore whatever made her feel good about herself. If you have a problem with it, then I guess you should have been here to tell her that what people think is more important than how she feels.
I cannot believe that you just...
The alarm went off, and I jolted from the bench, racing for the hallway.
We've got a mayday, Sawyer called out, running my way where all of our flight gear was stored. It was go time.
Claire, I'm going to have to call you back. There are people who need me to save them from an actual issue. I hung up and pocketed my phone without another thought about Claire as I ran back to the locker room. Sawyer and Garrett both came through the door as I grabbed my flight bag, then pressed a kiss to my fingers and touched the picture of Finley I kept taped on the inside of my locker door. Then I put her out of my mind too and focused only on the mission in front of me. Let's go save some lives.
Chapter 10. Morgan. I'm leaving you the truck. The best memories I have of it are with you in the passenger seat. So it seems fitting. I stared at the door handle of Will's truck and reached, only to drop my hand yet again. Sam had told me to take it easy while she was visiting Grayson's grandparents for the weekend, but I wasn't going to show up at Dr. Searcy's office this week, having failed with the simple homework assignment of opening the damned door. But what if I opened the door and had another anxiety attack? Even worse, what if Jackson saw it? How was I supposed to go out with the man tonight if I wasn't even healthy enough to open this door? A set of tires crunched the gravel of my driveway, and a blue sedan stopped right in front of the truck. Christina climbed out. Great. Now I had a witness to my failure. Well, good morning, sunshine. Christina held a cup of coffee as she glared me down in the odd combination of yoga pants over her wetsuit. Hardly, I retorted. I thought we were meeting at your shop. And what's with the wetsuit?
I thought so too, but then you stood me up.
She tilted her head.
I even grabbed you coffee. It's nasty when it's hot, so I bet it's extra special tasty when chilled by an hour of waiting.
I looked from the coffee to her and back again.
Wait, we're supposed to meet at 9, right? I couldn't possibly be that late.
Yep, and it's now 10. She shook her phone.
Oh, God. I'm so sorry, Christina. I lost track of time.
I'd been standing here for an hour and a half. I wasn't sure if I was more upset by the time loss or my ultimate inability to open the door.
It's okay. We can make the 11 o'clock class.
She walked over to the construction dumpster and tossed the coffee over the metal edge.
Now get your wetsuit and let's go.
For yoga? She grinned.
Do you trust me?
No,
I shook my head. Smart woman. What if I ask you really nicely and promise not to ask you to surf?
She batted her lashes at me. I sighed. Give me 5? I was supposed to be exercising my body and making new friends, and if that included putting on my wetsuit, then fine. At least I wouldn't fail that section of my homework.
Take 10, she answered with a shrug.
I raced up my steps and didn't stop until I reached my bedroom, where I went to war with the neoprene piece of hell known as my wetsuit. Good Lord. This thing exhausted every muscle I had just getting it on. But I did. Thank God I didn't go with a full body model, or I wouldn't have made it. With already aching arms, I gathered my hair at the top of my head and looped it into a bun, then pulled on my yoga pants, grabbed my sunglasses, and headed back outside where Christina patiently waited for me. Good girl. For your speed, I shall offer you a new cup of non-cold coffee on the way, she said with a smirk. We took her coupe, 20 minutes north to Avon, stopping along the way for the promised caffeine hit. You going to pry? I asked when I caught her glance in my way. Nope. I figure if you want to tell me why you were staring at a pickup truck like it was your mortal enemy, you will. Her eyes cut my way. Doesn't mean I'm not dying of curiosity. I took a sip of the caramel macchiato as we sped along the narrow parts of the island. I'm struggling with a homework assignment my therapist gave me. I glanced at her. Does it weird you out that I'm in therapy? Nope. You already told me you struggle with anxiety attacks. It weirds me out when people know they need help and still don't seek it. Homework, huh? Dead guy problems? She asked,